1 hour from now, it's Pleasure in a Different Mood as Suspense offers Robert Montgomery and Dame Mae Whitty in Night Must Fall. Broadcasting System in cooperation with the United States Army and United States Air Force Recruiting Service presents the new Mr. Ace and Jane program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Tonight, Chapter 7, entitled Jane's cousin, Miss Anderson, who is Mr. Ace's secretary, antagonizes Mr. Ace's boss and has to be fired, but Jane won't hear of it, and outmaneuvers the boss in what she calls a baffle of wit. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
happiness is relative. The fewer relatives, the more happiness. This is what happens when a man's wife starts to run his office. I'll tell you about it in just a moment.
Before Mr. Ace tells us his story, I want to get in my story about the United States Army and the United States Air Force. Today, more and more of America's finest young men are finding that an Army or an Air Force career offers greater opportunity than almost any civilian career. Why? Well, where else can a young man find security, education, travel, adventure, housing, medical care, clothes? All those things, plus good pay. The answer is proven by the fact that every day 1,000 young men volunteer for our Army and our Air Force. And these men are physically and mentally the highest type men ever to be in service. Isn't that proof enough that the Army or the Air Force could be a mighty good bet for you? And now, Mr. Ace, what was that about your secretary?
In every man's life, there are three women. His mother, his wife, and his secretary down at the office. What happened to me last week, I blame entirely on my mother. Mother should have told me that I would someday marry Jane, and Jane would make me hire her cousin, Miss Anderson, as my secretary. Anderson, spelled backwards, is Nasrevna. The only reason I mention Miss Anderson spelled backwards is because that's the way Miss Anderson spells. She takes advantage of the fact that she's Jane's cousin.
I take advantage of the fact that I'm Jane's cousin.
She knows I can't fire her.
I know he can't fire me.
I wish he'd get married, but nobody would have her.
I know he can't fire me.
Take, for instance, what happened the other day when my boss, Mr. Norris, of Sutton, Dutton, Mutton, and Norris, tried to get me on the inner office phone. Mr. Norris's secretary made the call.
Hello, is that you, Miss Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Norris calling for Mr. Ace.
Okay, put Mr. Norris on.
No, you put Mr. Ace on first. I put Mr. Norris on first yesterday.
Miss Philpott, I think I've told you before, it's always the caller who should be put on first, not the callee. If you want Mr. Ace to talk to Mr. Norris, put Mr. Norris on first.
I will not. I put Mr. Norris on first yesterday. You put Mr. Ace on first today.
Well, no, I don't.
Miss Anderson refuses to put Mr. Ace on first. I put you on first yesterday, Mr. Norris. Why should I put you on first all the time?
You're absolutely right, Miss Philpott. Hang on.
Yes, Mr. Norris.
That secretary of yours is his wife's cousin. Completely insubordinate. We'll settle this once and for all. Take an inner office memo.
Yes, Mr. Norris.
To all department heads of Dutton, Sutton, Mutton, and Norris, and especially to Mr. Ace.
Especially to Mr. Ace?
Yes, and underline especially. To all Dutton, Sutton, and Mutton heads. I'll show him who's the head of this organization. Take this. Gentlemen, there has been an appalling lack of discipline among the personnel in our company, comma, brought about by the hiring of wives' relatives, exclamation point. A woman's place is in the home, I always say, semicolon. And this goes especially...
Excuse me, Mr. Norris, the phone. Hello?
This is Mrs. Norris. Is my husband there?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Norris. Just a moment. It's Mrs. Norris.
Oh, what now? Hello, Margaret.
Jonathan, have you done something about finding a position at the office for Elizabeth Benson?
No, Margaret. I'm afraid there isn't anything open at the moment.
Jonathan Norris, that is no answer. After all, Elizabeth is my niece, my sister's only child, and when I ask you to do something for me, I expect... Do it.
But, Margaret, there are too many relatives working here now.
But none of mine. Now, why do you discriminate against my relatives?
But, Margaret...
Jonathan Norris, you listen to me. Elizabeth's mother
Philpott, let's get on with that memo. A woman's place is in the home. Have you got that?
Yes, sir.
There has been too much interference by wives in our business affairs, period.
Joseph, are you listening to me?
Yes, Margaret.
I have a phone number right here, and I'm going to look it up. Now, can you hold that phone? Don't go away.
No, Margaret. All right, Miss Philpott. My word is law around here, and I don't want my laws broken. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, I always say, period. Wives must stay out of office business. Caesar's wife must be above suspicion, I always say, exclamation point. Sign it, Julius Caesar, J.K. Norris.
Jonathan, are you there?
Yes, Brutus. Cleopatra. Yes, Margaret, right here.
A few minutes later, the memo from Julius Caesar arrived. It was dated the Ides of March, and Rome never burned like I did when I read what was in it. Miss Anderson, what does he mean, especially me?
I guess he really means especially me. I'm a relative of James.
Well, he can't blame me for that. After all the work I do around here to get a memo threatening to fire me, I'm going to answer it. Miss Anderson, take a note. Are you ready?
Yes, as soon as I can find a pencil, if I can find my notebook.
To Mr. Norris, especially Mr. Norris, and underline especially. Your memo received, period. I admit you are the brains of this organization. Question mark. But there is enough aggravation in the advertising business without having you upset my digestion. Colon. Have you got that?
Yeah, only the pencil. I can't find the notebook.
Oh, great. Miss Anderson, maybe Mr. Norris is
Excuse
right.
Excuse me, the phone.
Can't find her notebook. Great stenographer.
Hello?
Hello, Sally. This is Jane.
Oh, hello, Jane.
Just fine. How are things today, Sally?
Rome's burning.
That's good. Is my husband there?
Just a minute. It's Jane.
Well, I'm surprised you let me come on first. Why don't you ask her who's on first? That Abbott and Costello routine you do there. You don't even know how to answer a telephone.
Mr. Ace, before I came here, I had charge of the switchboard at the Information Bureau at Grand Central.
Yes.
And I'll have you know I was voted Miss Information of 1944.
Politics. Give me that phone. Hello, Jane.
Hello, dear. This is Jane.
I know. What is it, Jane?
Dear, I've been thinking.
No comment.
Oh, yes, I have.
You have.
Hardly a day goes by I don't think of something.
Hmm.
I've been thinking about your vacation next August.
This is March, and you're thinking
Have
of...
Have you thought where we should go this summer?
I don't know, Jane. Maybe to the mountains. Look, I've got troubles today.
Oh, you said last year we'd go to the mountains, and we didn't go.
No, Jane, it was the year before we didn't go to the mountains. Last year we didn't go to that dude ranch.
Well, it's just monotonous not going to the same places every year.
Okay, then how would you like not to go to the seashore this year?
That'll be fun.
I'm glad. Now, if you don't mind, Jane, I've got some unfinished business.
And one more thing, dear. Have you noticed you only get 2 weeks vacation?
Have I noticed it, yes.
I think you ought to have 4 weeks. Ask Mr. Norris if you can have 4 weeks, dear. He can get along without you for a month.
This is no time to try to prove that, Jane. I'm not going to ask him.
Well, all right, I will.
You will what?
I'm going to tell him everybody needs a longer vacation, especially you.
What is this, especially me, Dave?
I'll talk to Mr. Norris, dear. I'll be down there in a jitney.
Jane, no. I just had a note from him. He doesn't want any wives around the office. I'm not going to rush up to him now about a thing like this. I'll wait for for Muhammad to come to the mountain.
I thought you said seashore.
No, it was Dude Ranch. What am I talking about? Jane, I'll take it up with you later. Goodbye. Miss Anderson, take a memo to Muhammad. Well, that's big business for you. You send me a note, I send you a note. His secretary files my note, my secretary files his note. Triplicate copies go to our branch offices in Chicago, Los Angeles, and Lincoln, Nebraska. And then secretaries out there make duplicates of the triplicates, and they file them. Impressive, isn't it? Especially when you consider that Mr. Norris's office is only 2 doors down the hall from mine. He could walk right in and tell me what he has to say in the first place. But if that happened, what would the secretary in Lincoln, Nebraska do? What would my secretary do, and I wish she would? Well, Mr. Norris in his office has just finished reading my memo in answer to his memo, and he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it one whit.
I don't like it. I don't like it one whit. Miss Philpott.
Yes, sir.
Take a memo and answer to Mr. Ace's answer to my memo. To Mr. Ace. Oh, yeah? Signed, J.K. Norris.
Needless to say, I did not take this lying down. Miss Anderson, take a memo and answer to Mr. Norris's answer to my answer to his memo.
If I can find my pencil in those...
Mr. Norris. Yeah. Signed, Mr. Ace. Well, that stopped him. He couldn't think of a good memo for that one. So with his back to the wall, he took the cowardly way out and telephoned my office. Miss Anderson answered the phone.
Mr. Ace's office, Miss Anderson speaking.
Just a moment, Mr. Norris calling. Here he is.
Give me that phone, I'll show him. What is the meaning of that insolent memo that you sent me? If you think for one moment you can take advantage of any friendship I've shown you, you're sadly mistaken, do you understand?
Who is this speaking, please?
What? Who is this?
This is Miss Anderson. Who's this?
This is Mr. Norris.
Yes, Mr. Norris, what can I do for you?
What can you... Miss Anderson, when I call for Mr. Ace, I expect you to put him on the phone.
You'll pardon me, Mr. Norris, but your secretary did not say you wanted to talk to Mr. Ace. He simply said Mr. Norris calling. I thought you wanted to talk to me.
Talk to you? I never want to talk to you.
You'll pardon my pointing, Mr. Norris, but you called me. I did not call you.
I did not call you. And if you don't put Mr. Ace on the phone this minute, you're fired.
Mr. Norris, someday you'll say that once too often.
You're fired. You're fired. You're fired.
I'm keeping track, Mr. Norris. That's three times.
Miss Anderson, I'm going to make it four, but I'm saving that one to tell you in person. You wait there. I'm coming right in.
This little telephone tidbit I wasn't aware of. Miss Anderson had taken the call at her desk in the outer office while I was merrily preparing to go to lunch. Oh, Miss Anderson.
Yes?
Miss Anderson, I'm going to lunch. I'll be back. What's the matter with you?
Mr. Norris just called and said he was going to fire me.
Well, why do you antagonize him? Stay away from him, will you? Now, I'm going to lunch. I see on my appointment pad here, I have a luncheon appointment with Bill Wilson at the Gypsy Tea Room. Gypsy Tea Room? I never eat there. How'd I get into that?
Do you know Bill Wilson?
I guess so. His name's down here on my calendar for lunch.
Bill and I are having lunch at the Gypsy Tea Room. Why'd he ask you to come along?
Oh, isn't that? Miss Anderson, will you stop writing your dates on my appointment pad? Look at this thing. And I'm not going to Roseland tonight at 8:30 either.
Mr. Ace, you'll fire this young woman at once.
Oh, but Mr. Norris, I can't do that.
Well, I can. Miss Anderson, for the fourth and last time, you're fired.
I take orders from Mr. Ace, Mr. Norris.
And Mr. Ace takes orders from me. You do work for me, Mr. Ace, or don't you care to anymore?
Well,
no man is indispensable, I always say.
But Mr. Norris, let's not lose our head.
It's your head that'll be lost, Mr. Ace, if this girl is not out of this office.
Well, where'll I get somebody to take her place?
There'll be a Miss Elizabeth Benson here in her place in the morning.
Elizabeth Benson? Who's that?
She happens to be my wife's a very efficient girl. At least she knows how to answer a telephone with a civil tongue.
Mr. Norris, before I came here, I operated the switchboard at Grand Central Information, and I was voted Miss Information.
I don't care to hear about it. Do you, Mr. H, take this woman, the cousin of your wife, off our payroll?
I do. I mean, no. Now, wait just a minute.
Mr. H, I warn you, you can be easily replaced. This is your final chance.
You mean you'd fire me just because
there
I don't...
There you are, Mr. Norris.
Oh, great.
What? Mrs. H, what are you doing here?
Just fine. Mr. Norris, I was just in your office looking for you, and you're not there. Hello, Sally. And last and least, hello, dear.
Look, Jane, this is no time for you to...
This is just the time.
Oh, no.
Mr. Norris, don't you think my husband deserves a longer vacation?
I was just thinking he might get a very long one.
There. You see, dear, wasn't that easy?
Go home.
You know, Mr. Norris, this happens every time I want him to ask you a favor. I told him time and tide again we should have 4 weeks instead of two. And he keeps saying Mr. Norris won't do it. And I tell him he's barking up the wrong dog. So I said, dear, next year...
Mrs. H., have I ever told you not to come to this office so often?
Yes, I think you did. So I said, dear, next year...
How many times have I told you not to come to this office?
In round numbers? Well, let me see. There was a time I came about the raise in salary. What a merry mix-up that was. Remember, Mr. Norris? All we wanted was a poultry few dollars, chicken feed.
You know Mrs. Ace?
That name sounds familiar.
What?
What?
Jane, go home.
Here, Mr. Norris and I are talking. Now stop trying to monotonize the conversation.
Oh, fine.
Mr. Ace! Your secretary is fired, and you'll see me in my office at once.
But, Mr. Norris, this vacation idea wasn't mine. I didn't ask her.
Well, how do you like that? Jane, you've got to do something.
Oh, we'll get the 4 weeks. Don't worry.
I mean about me being fired.
Fired? Who's firing you?
Didn't you hear what he just said? He said, I'm fired.
Oh, they can't fire you. You've been here too long. You're like an old family Airedale.
Mr. Norris already said there's going to be a girl to take my place tomorrow.
Oh, no, they won't, Sally. We've had this trouble before, remember?
Yes, but how often can you go to bat for me because I'm your cousin?
Sally, you're more than just a cousin. You're a buddy. And if he's going to give somebody else your job over my dead buddy.
Yes, sir, in every man's life there are three women. His mother, his wife, and his secretary. At this point, with my wife and secretary, I can very well do without. Ma, where are you? Well, Mr. Norris took me back on probation, and the next morning, Miss Elizabeth Benson was my secretary. Miss Anderson came in and packed up her manicure set, a bottle of medicated throat lozenges, two thermometers, a package of sulfanilamide band-aids, a tube of unguentine, an electric pad, a bottle of Absorbine Junior, a hypodermic needle, and a book called Brain Surgery Self-Taught. That morning at my home, Jane began her plot to get her cousin Sally's job back with the aid of our next-door neighbor, Ken Roberts, the radio announcer. Oh, you hear Ken on the radio all the time. You hear him doing commercials like,
this show is brought to you by the Segway Company, whose product for years has been a byword. So try a byword. You'll love its rich tanginess, its tangy richness, its mellow goodness, its good mellowness, its heavenly smells, its smells to heaven.
He gets very cozy with the ladies.
Remember, ladies, there's nothing like a byword for a fast pickup. Pickups are easily available at any corner drugstore.
Ken has a big fan in Jane, and hardly a day goes by that he doesn't drop in to practice a commercial for her. But this morning, Jane had a problem for him.
Would you drive me downtown, Ken?
Well, sure, Jane. I'm going down to the radio station. I've got to rehearse this commercial. When are you leaving?
No sooner said, the better. I was expecting a call from Sally, but, well, speak of the devil and the phone ring. Excuse me, Ken.
Sure.
Hello?
Jane, I did what you told me. I packed up everything and I've walked out.
Good. Is the new secretary there yet, Sally?
Yeah, she's there.
What does she look like?
Oh.
She is, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, now here's what I want you to do. I'm going down to the office now. Ken Roberts is driving me down.
Who?
Yeah. Now, you give me 3/4 of an hour, and then you can come back to the office and get your job back.
What are you going to do about the other secretary?
Sally, I haven't time to draw you a blue point. Just leave it to your Uncle Dulcie. Will you do what I tell you?
Come back to the office in 3/4 of an hour?
Yeah, 75 minutes.
Okay, I'll be there. So long.
So long. Okay, Ken. Ready? Ken, I'm ready.
What? Oh, I was just looking over this commercial. Let me read this to you, will you, Jane?
Always a commercial at the most crucial time. Well, all right, Ken, go ahead. Before you start, Ken, promise you won't say anything about what I just told Sally.
Oh, I won't. Honest to Harry Von Zell.
Okay, read the commercial.
Okay. What young man today doesn't get a thrill out of just watching the newest jet plane spurt through the skies? Well, as thousands of Air Force pilots can testify, it's an even bigger thrill to fly these jet jobs.
I've got to get a job for Sally.
So it's great news that now under the Aviation Cadet Pilot Training Program of the United States Air Force, selected cadets are given advanced training in the famous P-80 jobs. Of course, that's not for a beginner. First, they fly such time-proven planes as AT-6s, then P-51s, P-47s, or B-25s. And then, if they qualify, they're given the jet assignment.
Fair.
All of this well-rounded aviation training is completed in 1 year, after which successful cadets earn up to $336 a month as Air Force officers.
My.
That's why, for the young man who's had 2 years of college or can pass an equivalent examination, the Aviation Cadet Pilot Training Program offers a fine future. To apply for the July class, go to your nearest recruiting office or Air Force base, or write tonight to the Chief of Staff, United States Air Force, Washington 25, D.C.
Are you finished, Ken?
All finished.
Well, as they say up in Portland, shall we go?
And as the man going into the delicatessen said to the man coming out of the dentist's office, I hope...
Oh, I forgot to tell you before that when Mr. Norris had me on the carpet about because my filing system was the worst in the office. And he was right, because Miss Anderson filed everything under miscellaneous. I was struggling with the filing cabinet when Jane swooped in and went right to work on me.
Hello, dear.
What? Oh, no, not you again.
Yes, fine.
Oh, fine.
Are you all alone, dear?
I was.
Where's your new secretary?
Out to lunch. And look, Jane, I've got to straighten out this whole filing cabinet. I don't know how I'll ever get it done. So much work to do around here, and this new girl who doesn't know where anything is.
Well, dear, why don't you work late tonight? Don't come home to dinner.
Well, I'd like to, but you always object so when I want to work late.
Oh, but if you have to do, dear, after all.
Okay, I will. Thanks. I'll have this new girl stay and get acquainted with our setup here.
Yes, you do that.
Yeah, now I think I better get some new filing cards for her. I'll run over to the supply room, Jane. Oh, was there anything you wanted especially?
Oh, no, dear. I'm just killing the time away.
Okay. See you back home, huh?
Mm-hmm. See you later, dear. He's so easy. This is going to be a simple assignment. If she doesn't take too long for lunch and upset the apple pie. Oh, how do you do?
Well, how do you do? And may I ask who you are?
Yes.
Well, who are you?
Oh, I'm Mrs. Ace.
Oh, Mrs. Ace, well, how do you do? I'm Elizabeth Benson, your husband's new secretary.
I'm pleased to meet your acquaintance. Do you like it here so far, Miss Benson?
Oh, I certainly do. This is so much nicer than the last job I had. Oh, that awful man I used to work for. What a wolf. And he was married, too.
He was, huh? Well, I ought to warn you about my husband. He is, too.
He is what?
Married.
Oh, yes, of course, I know. But I won't have that trouble with Mr. Ace. He seems so...
So nice?
Yes, so nice.
Oh, thank you. Yes, he does seem that way, doesn't he? Tell me, has he asked you to sit on his lap yet?
Sit on his lap? He has not.
Well, you're a lap ahead of him.
Mr. Ace, I simply can't believe it.
You can't? Well, I'll have to play my last card. This will put my ace in the hole. Miss Benson, has he asked you to stay late and work nights?
Work nights? You mean...
Yes. After the office is closed and everybody else has gone home?
Why, no. He said business hours were from 9 to 5.
Oh, he gave you the business, huh? Miss Benson, don't be so naive. I know him. I'll bet you anything he tells you to stay late tonight. Now, you just watch and see, but don't you do it. Believe me, he's just trying to pull the bull over your eyes.
Well, I'd like to see him try. I'll tell him a few things that'll burn his ears to a crisp, or my name isn't Benson.
Atta girl, now you're cooking on a Benson burner.
Look, Ma, I'm dancing with tears in my eyes. Well, the trap is set, and now the wolf walks in. That's me. I forgot, this is radio. That's me. Excuse me. Get a load of the wolf at work. Oh, Miss Benson, I think I'm going to have to ask you to... hello, Jane. You still here?
Hello, dear.
Hello. Oh, Miss Benson, I'm going to have to ask you to work late tonight and go over some filing we have to do here.
Oh, yes?
Yes, I'd like for you to get familiar with everything around the office.
Familiar is right.
Yes. What seems to be... What are you two staring at each other about?
I'm not staring at each other.
Now, just a minute.
Mr. Ace, I'm not staying late tonight or any other night.
Now, wait just a minute. If I'm willing to stay late, I should think you'd be.
Well, of all the conceited... Now, listen, Mr. Ace, you might just as well do your howling somewhere else.
Howling? What are you talking about? Now, look, Miss Benson, you're going to have to get familiar with the routine around here.
I know that old routine.
What?
Mr. Ace, I quit.
Quit?
Goodbye.
Quit? Just because I asked you to stay?
Mrs. Ace, you have my deepest sympathy.
Oh, thank you.
Sympathy? What's going on? Miss Benson, come back here.
Hey, watch where you're going.
Oh, excuse me.
Miss Anderson, what are you doing here?
Goodbye, Mrs.
Goodbye, Miss Benson. Hello, Sally. Sally, you're just in time. We need a secretary.
Wait a minute.
Off with the new, on with the old.
Wait a minute.
Sally, take off your hat. You're just in the neck of time.
Wait a minute. Let's have a review of the bidding here. What happened?
You saw what happened, dear. She quit.
Miss Anderson, will you answer that phone?
Yes, sir.
I still don't know what's going on here.
Hello?
Mr. Norris calling for Mr. Ace. Will you put him on, please?
You put Mr. Norris on first. I put Mr. Ace on first,
lad. This is where I came in. Give me that phone. You want to be fired again? Hello, this is Mr. Ace.
Just a moment. moment, please.
Miss Anderson, honestly, I don't know...
Mr. Ace?
Yes, Mr. Norris?
I'm flying out to our office in Lincoln, Nebraska in a few minutes, and I want to call you tonight from Lincoln. You'll be home, won't you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Norris.
Okay, I'm calling you with a report. And then after I call you, I want you to get in touch with Mr. Dutton at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C., and relay my report to him.
Washington, D.C., yes, sir.
Goodbye. See you in a day or two.
Goodbye, Mr. Norris. Have a nice trip. Oh, he hung up.
I guess I'll be going home now. Everything seems to be honky-tonky around here again.
Yes, it certainly is. Jane, I want to ask you a few questions about this secretary business.
Come on, dear. I'm off.
Yes, I know you are, but I want to ask you anyhow. Well, it took a little doing, but I finally got the number of the truck that hit me. And the driver of the truck wasn't satisfied with just knocking me down. After I got home, she backed over me. Now, get this. Get what she started to pick on me about when I got home for dinner that evening.
What are you doing home to dinner? I thought you were going to work late.
I was, but I'm expecting a phone call. And in the excitement, I forgot to tell Mr. Norris I was going to be working at the office, so I brought the stuff home to work on.
You expect me to believe that?
Why? What do you believe?
Didn't I hear you with my own eyes telling Miss Benson to stay late?
Oh, now stop.
And now that she's not staying, you come home to me.
Jane, you amaze me.
All right.
Oh, no. Jane, if you remember, you were even the one who suggested that I work late.
That's no answer. Why aren't you working late?
Because I'm expecting an important phone call here at home.
You expect me to believe that?
What's so hard to believe about that? I'm expecting a phone call from Lincoln, and I have to relay the message to Washington.
Oh, now, dear, you expect me to believe that?
What?
Talking to Lincoln and Washington? They didn't even have telephones then.
Isn't that all?
In just a moment, I'll give you the title of Chapter 8 in the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. This is Ken Roberts again, and right now I want to talk directly to those young men who are thinking of joining our new regular army. When you do apply, be sure to consider enlistment in the combat arms, the real fighting heart of the Army. In these combat arms, you'll find the adventure and excitement which go with fast movement, quick decisions, and real leadership. Yes, it's in the infantry, the artillery, and the armored cavalry that we find the elite troops of the entire Army. And it's in these forces that we find the greatest comradeship and esprit de corps, too. Talk over enlistment in the combat arms with your local recruiting office, and chances are you'll find they offer you a challenging experience along with a fine future. Next week, Mr. Ace and Jane will bring you Chapter 8 entitled, Mr. Ace Decides That Jane's Brother Paul, Who Hasn't Worked in 15 Years, Get Himself a Job and Make Some Money. And Jane decides that Paul can make a lot of money if he marries the boss's daughter. A combination of romance and finance. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
the guy won't work for love or money. Good night.
Me too.
Good night.
The script for Mr. Ace and Jane is written by Goodman Ace. Original music conducted by Morris Sturton. In the supporting cast, for Florence Robinson as Miss Anderson, Eric Dressler as Mr. Norris, Evelyn Barton as Mrs. Norris, Joe Carroll Dennison as Miss Hillhart, and this is Ken Roberts announcing that you may hear Mr. Ace and Jane again next week at this same time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.